Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Margaret. We thank you for all that she does to bless our church. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit will anoint her lips, give her the right words, and strengthen her as she speaks to us. And Lord, help us to hear what you want to speak to us about. Help each of us to have open ears, open hearts, and the grace to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, Christine. Can you hear me okay, first of all? Yeah, give a wave. Good, good, good. Right, do you like a good story? I do, and it's great when you hear a good one. You know, when we've been out walking and people have walked past us and they've been telling a story to their friend they're walking with, you know, you listen, you know, I like to tune in, you know, listen. And then you think, oh, what happened next? Because they've passed by and you don't get the continuing story. Well, Jesus often spoke in stories. In fact, they were called parables. So why did he? This was to help the people gathered around him to understand his teaching and the truths he wanted to explain to them. Often his stories related to everyday life. This helped the people connect more to what he was saying to them. Jesus also had enemies. They were always waiting for him to say something they could hold against him. So by speaking in parables, Jesus was making it very hard for them. He could hardly be arrested for telling a story, could he? Example of this is found in Luke 11, verse 53. The Pharisees, who believed in traditions and were legal experts of the law, began to oppose Jesus and besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him out in questions they asked and his reply. So many of the parables Jesus told helped challenge the folk, listening to him and thinking about eternal matters and their souls. It happened to them, it helped them to focus a lot more on God. Referring back to Matthew 19, Jesus had been speaking to the rich young man who had asked Jesus about how to get eternal life. Jesus spoke to him about some of the commandments. The man said to him, he'd kept these commandments, but what do I still lack? Jesus said to him, sell your possessions and give to the poor and needy. The young man had great wealth, and he was sad when he heard Jesus say these words. Jesus then said to his disciples, the truth is that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He went on to say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter God's kingdom. This made the disciples inquire further, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and replied, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And Peter answered him, we have left everything and followed you. What then do we get? You see, in the culture of the day, the disciples thought if anyone could be saved, it would be the rich. Jesus went on to explain, holding on to riches and holding these things selfishly and not giving to those in need would not help you get eternal life. He then said in verse 30 of Matthew 19, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. This verse highlights the next parable he went on to speak. Jesus tells the parable of the labourers in the vineyard. This is found in Matthew chapter 20, and it's verses 1 to 16. Entrance into the kingdom of God is by grace alone. God is the landowner and believers are the workers. Jesus goes on to explain about the kingdom of heaven. Grace, greatness and service. We've got a reading from Matthew 20:1-16.
Right. And this reading is from a slightly anglicised version of the Message. God's kingdom is like an estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. They agreed on a wage of a denarius a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some other men hanging around the town square unemployed. He told them to go to work in his vineyard and he would pay them a fair wage. And they went. He did the same thing again at noon and again at 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, he went back and found still others standing around. He said, "Why are you standing around all day doing nothing?" And they said, "Because no one has hired us." And he told them to go and work in his vineyard. When the day's work was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman, "Call the workers in and pay them their wages. Start with the last hired and go on to the first." Those hired at 5 o'clock came up and were each given a denarius. When those who were hired first saw that, they assumed that they would get far more. But they got the same, each of them one denarius. Taking the denarius, they groused angry to the manager. "These last workers put in only one easy hour, and you just made them equal to us, who slaved all day under a scorching sun." He replied to the one speaking for the rest, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. We agreed on the wage of a denarius, didn't we? So take it and go. I decided to give to the one who came last the same as you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to be stingy because I am generous?" Here it is again, the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last and the last first.
So in this parable of the workers in the vineyard, verses 1 to 2, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the labourers, payment of a denarius a day, he sent them to his vineyard." So verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." Like many of Jesus's parables, this story is about an employer and those that work for him. Jesus will use this story to answer a question raised back in Matthew 19, verse 27, when Peter stated to the disciples that they had left everything to follow Jesus. "So what shall we have?" That's what Peter asked him. Jesus replied in stages. First, a promise of reward. That's in verse 28. Second, a warning of that God's manner of distributing reward is not necessarily the manner of man. Finally, this parable illustrates the principle that God's manner of rewarding is not like man's practice of rewards. To hire the labourers for his vineyard, the landowner went to the marketplace early in the morning. This was the gathering place for the labourers who wanted to be hired each day. The workers all agreed the wage at the beginning of the working day, and this was the usual practice. So in verses 3 to 7, throughout the day, the landowner continues to hire the workers. The landowner went back during the day at different times and spotted other labourers standing in the marketplace. He said to them, "You also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you." So off they trotted to the vineyard. Later on, the landowner went again to the marketplace, this time around late afternoon. And he found other workers standing idle. He said to them, "Why have you been standing here doing nothing all day?" They answered him, saying, "Because no one has hired us." So he told them to go to the vineyard and you will receive payment. The vineyard owner wanted to get the harvest gathered in before the rain came. Otherwise, it would be ruined. So any worker he could find was welcome to help him out. Even if a worker could only manage an hour or two, he came on board. picture is that the landowner had an inexhaustible supply of work for those that wanted to work for him. The landowner was surprised to find idle labourers because he had so much work to get done. Now, this can apply to us spiritually. Why are any of us remaining idle towards God? Can we say no one has hired us? Jesus mentions working for God in Matthew 9. He saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the labourers are few." Does that speak to our hearts? Will you give whatever is right? Whatever you give, whatever is right, you will receive. The landowner promised the early workers a day's wage. The workers that came to work later in the day were not promised a specific wage, only whatever was right. The landowner promised to pay all the later workers fairly. So we see in verse 8 to 10, the time comes for the workers to be paid. So the owner said to his steward, "Call the labourers and give them their wages, beginning with the last workers I hired." When it came for the labourers hired first, they supposed they would be paid more, but they received the same as the late workers that were hired in the afternoon. The men that were hired last were so elated about being paid first and also being paid a full day's wage, the workers who had worked all day were expecting to receive more. They saw the men who only worked part of the day walking away from the pay table with their full wage. They then thought, "We will get more than them." The order of payment was important. If the first workers had been paid first, they would not have had time to develop the expectation of more pay for themselves. They used their waiting time in considering their own superiority to the latecomers. Yet, workers who had arrived first at the vineyard got paid exactly as the workers, the landowner, had promised them, a denarius a day. Matthew 20, verse 2. But they were disappointed in the hope of more pay. So in verses 11 to 15, and when they had received their pay, the early workers complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour and you've made them equal to us who have worked in the heat of the day." The landowner answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go on your way. I wish to give the last workers the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own money?" The landowner did nothing to explain why he did this, other than simply say, "I wish." The landowner was generous to them all. Verse 16, the parable applied the principle of God's reward. So the last shall be first and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Peter and the disciples knew they had given up a great deal to follow Jesus. But Peter wanted to know what they would get in return. Through this parable, Jesus assured them that they would be rewarded. But the principle of many who are first will be last, and the last first in Matthew, chapter 19, verse 30, meant that God may not reward us as we expect, even as this parable illustrates. Some think this parable speaks of the way that people come to God at different stages in their lives. They may come at a young age, in adulthood, or in their latter years, or even at their death. Other thoughts on this parable give us understanding about grace and reward. God rewards and blesses people according to his will and pleasure. Like the landowner decided to reward his workers, the system of the law is you get what you deserve. God's grace deals with us according to who God is, not according to who and what we are. The landowner did not treat any of the workers unfairly. He only treated them as he wished. God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, is for all and not what we deserve. Grace should be especially shown in our service for God. It is of grace, not of works. All our service is already due to God. It belongs to him. Our ability to serve is the gift of his grace. Being in the right state of mind to do God's work is a gift of grace. Successful service to God is the gift of his grace. I want to read a passage from a book written by J. John. And you've heard of J. John and Mark Stibbe. He's an Anglican minister. This book is called A Bundle of Laughs. But this particular section I'm reading is not funny. But this book is really good because it's full of quotes and information, and it's got jokey bits in it as well. But this bit I found, it's on grace, and it just comes into this passage really well. And it does make you think about how God's grace works. When a person works 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that is a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that is an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favour. This is what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. And that's a quote by someone called G.W. Knight in this book. I hope my thoughts have, you know, prompted you to think about grace, reward and service, and I'll just leave thoughts I've raised with you. Amen.